What a great song for what we're going through. It's been an unusual year, and we welcome you to the Graham Street Church of Christ. Whether you're meeting with us live today in person or whether you're meeting at home, we hope that this is a great resource for you to be able to feel that you're still with the family, you're still part of what we're doing, and we love you so much, even if you can't be together with us in person at the building. I want to welcome you to this service today, and although it's an abbreviated version of our service, it still will have, I hope, encouraging words for you, and we're praying for you. We're going to focus on two main passages this morning. One is from Habakkuk chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Though the fig tree does not bud, and there is no grapes on the vine, though the olive crops fail and the fields produce no fruit, though there is no sheep in the pen and no cattle in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in God my Savior. The sovereign Lord is my strength. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer. He enables me to tread the heights. And then Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some of those who have nothing prepared. This day is holy to our Lord. Do not grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Let's pray. Our Father God in heaven, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity to be able to worship, whether it's time together with people that we love or by ourselves in our home, or whether it's an opportunity to come to the building and be able to worship with others in more person-to-person way. We know that we're in unusual times, and we pray for your blessing. There are a number of our family who are sick, and we pray for them. There are people who are discouraged and feeling depressed and anxious, and we pray for them. There are those who have lost their jobs or have had to cut back, and they wonder about where their money will come from. And we pray, Father, for a blessing on them. We pray that today they'll experience the joy of the Lord and therefore experience your strength and grow stronger. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Of course, as I said, the title for today is Strength Through the Joy of the Lord and comes from this passage. These two passages, in a way, are a before and after, kind of like the sermon that I did last week in talking about when before the temple was built and instructions are being given by David to Solomon about building the temple. And then later we looked in Chronicles after the temple had been built and it was dedicated to the Lord. Today we want to look at before the captivity and after the captivity. The prophet Habakkuk is prophesying that the Lord is going to bring destruction. But the problem with reading Habakkuk is it's not so much dealing with Habakkuk's prophecy, although there is prophecy in the book. It's dealing with the personal relationship between Habakkuk and God, and Habakkuk coming to understand that God is going to bring destruction on the people of Judah, and that Jerusalem is going to be destroyed, and it's going to be a terrible time for Judah. And Habakkuk has been complaining to God that God is tolerating the evil of the Jewish people, and he can't understand, as a prophet of God, why he's not dealing with this. And then finally, God tells Habakkuk that I am going to deal with this. And this is the way I'm going to deal with it. I'm going to bring another nation upon them, an enemy nation that is evil itself, and going to bring destruction on the Jewish people for the way that they have been dealing with me. And they've turned to idols, and they're wicked, and they're violent, and so forth. Well, that's not the answer that Habakkuk was wanting to hear. And so it upsets Habakkuk to hear that. And he says, why, Lord, why would you bring a people who are more wicked than us to punish us for our wickedness? So Habakkuk gets his answer, but it's not the answer that he wants to hear. And so God tells him that, be patient. A day will come when I will punish the Babylonians for what they're doing too. And you will be freed from captivity and you'll get to go back. And so he says, that's in my plan too. But for right now, this is the way I'm going to do it. And Habakkuk ends up saying that he rejoices in the Lord. Well, the Nehemiah, and I've put the Ezra passage in with it because it helps explain what's going on. In the passage of Nehemiah, it is after the captivity, and they have been allowed to go back and rebuild Jerusalem. And Nehemiah and Ezra get to be a part of the joy of rebuilding Jerusalem and rebuilding the temple and the walls around the city. And so you have this before and after effect of what's happening with God's work with the Jewish people. First, the dealing with the prophecy of them being overrun by the enemy nation of the Babylonians, and then getting a chance to go back after the captivity many years later, getting to go back to Jerusalem and rebuild the city. So this is a lesson today we're going to apply in basically in our Christian walk. But understand some of the principles of this lesson today apply to helping Christians better experience the joy of the Lord, resulting in a stronger spiritual life and service, and being able to celebrate the joy of the Lord in our worship. But it also applies to parenting our children and helping them to grow stronger emotionally and spiritually, to mature into productive, joyful Christian adults. And also it applies to leaders as we lead people in our churches, of course, but also on our jobs or in community service or whatever, as a leader, helping those we lead to grow stronger and more productive in service. Now, there's different ways to look at what these two passages talk about. We gain strength in the joy of the Lord, but there's different ways to look at how the joy of the Lord is being used here and how it brings us strength. The joy of the Lord is my strength or your strength. What does that mean? One, we can look at it that we gain strength from knowing we have brought joy to the Lord. You just feel almost like a child feeling like they have made their parents joyful, that they have pride in what they've done. And a child can see that brought my dad, my mom joy. And they gain strength in that. They gain confidence in that, in seeing the joy of their parents. Well, that's true in our relationship with God. We gain strength from knowing that we've brought joy to the Lord. It can also be used in gaining joy by knowing our relationship with the Lord is strong. And we can again look at the relationship of the parent and child. When a child knows that they're in a good relationship with their parents, that relationship is strong, and that we are that we don't have to worry from one moment to the next whether we're disappointing our parents or not, or whether they're angry with us or we've done something the wrong way. But there's a good relationship that the child knows that they continue. It's a continuous relationship that is strong. And even if they make mistakes, they're going to be loved and their parents are going to be proud of them. And therefore, the child has joy knowing that they have a strong relationship with their parents. And that's true of us as Christians in our relationship with God. If we know that we're in a strong relationship with the Lord and that it's not, our relationship is strong one moment, the next moment it's not, because, we have a evil thought or we step out of line or whatever, but we know we have this continuous walk with the Lord, that we have a strong relationship. There is joy in that. And it's also used with the idea that we rejoice that God in his strength can overcome any of the obstacles that get in the way of our joy together. We live in a world that throws many things at us that can obstruct our joyful living, you know, our feeling this blessedness of a relationship with God and the hope that we have eternal life. It can get in the way. But God's strength, God being stronger than all of the obstacles, even Satan himself, can help us to be stronger in the Lord, knowing that he'll take care of that. He'll get those things out of the way and restore that joy in our life of knowing that we don't live for this life. There's another life coming, that there'll be no obstacles to our joy. And God is strong enough to overcome anything that gets in the way. Well, that brings joy to our lives, and we grow from that. We are stronger because of that. In these two passages that we've talked about this morning, there are two big issues that stand in the way of gaining strength from experience or through experiencing the joy of the Lord. It's hard to be joyful when we experience confusion and guilt. In the first passage of Habakkuk is very confused. He's thinking, why, Lord, don't you deal with this? Why are you tolerating this bad behavior of your people, this violence, this idolatry, all the different things that they're doing? It's terrible in his eyes. And he's saying, why are you doing that? And then when God answers him and says, well, I am doing something about it, then that also causes Habakkuk confusion. He says, well, that doesn't make sense. I mean, what kind of answer is that? That you're going to punish the Jewish people for their wickedness by a nation that's even more wicked than they are? And so he's very confused in that. And so God answers Habakkuk's confusion, because confusion causes us hurt. We begin to doubt our relationship. Again, if you're to apply this to a situation with children and parents, when children are confused by what their parents are doing, it seems contradictory or hypocritical or whatever. It causes hurt. It causes fear. It causes anger. And as parents, we have to communicate with our children and try to help them to understand, but they can't always understand because they can't see things that we can see in this. They don't have the maturity yet to do it. Well, the same thing is true in dealing with us as Christians. God realizes that there are times that we're confused and it causes hurt and it causes fear and it causes anger. And God deals with that. He'll help us to deal with that. And that's what we want to talk about this morning. But the second thing that is an issue that gets in the way of experiencing the joy of the Lord is guilt. Because if we feel guilty that our relationship is not right with God, then we have this sense that things are not right, and it causes hurt, causes sorrow, sadness. It can cause us to have fear and anxiety, and we can also be angry. Again, making this comparison between parents and their children, when your children feel guilty because they've done something that they shouldn't do, and they're not sure where they are in their relationship with their parents because of that guilt, then it causes them hurt. It causes them to not live in an open and joyful relationship with their parents. It causes them fear and anxiety. It causes anger. In our relationship with God, we experience those same things. And this is evident in the situation with what's happening in Nehemiah. They've gone back. They've rebuilt much of the city. They've rebuilt the temple. They've built the walls around the city. They've restored their commerce. Things are going well. They're having this big celebration. And in the celebration, Ezra reads the law of God. And as Ezra reads, they realize that they're guilty of not keeping the law. They are not doing all the things that they're supposed to be doing. And like their families before them that have forsaken God and therefore were taken into captivity because of that, they realize that now, even now that they've come back, they're still not doing all the things that they should do. And this sense of guilt and hurt and fear and angry at themselves and angry at those who are leading them and so forth, that things are still not right. And so Nehemiah tells them, this is not a day of sadness. This is a day of celebration because God has restored us and we have the opportunity to do things right now. We have the opportunity to move forward and do like we should. And so don't be sad, but rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord and celebrate. And we need that opportunity to celebrate with God, that even though we make mistakes and there is a time for guilt, for a time to feel bad because we've not done like we should do, but through the forgiveness that God gives us in Jesus Christ, we can rejoice and celebrate and we can start over again and we can do it right and God will continue to forgive us. So in dealing with these two examples, you have Habakkuk in his confusion, and therefore he doesn't have the joy that he should have. And God helps him to deal with that. And then in the end of Habakkuk, the last few verses of Habakkuk says, even if it doesn't go the way I want it to, even if there's, even if it's the worst possible outcome, I will trust in the Lord and I will rejoice in the Lord and I will gain strength from the joy of the Lord. And in the case of Nehemiah, where they're dealing with guilt, and, in the end of the story, Nehemiah is saying, hey, there's a place for guilt. There, we should feel this guilt because we're not doing like we should do. But God has given us an opportunity to be forgiven and to move forward and do things the way we should, just like we have that opportunity in our lives to do that today. And therefore, we can celebrate and gain strength through the joy of the Lord. So in dealing with confusion and guilt, here's some things that need to happen. Number one, we need to clarify. Communication needs to take place to help there be better understanding of the boundaries. This is true in parenting. This is true in leadership. And this is true in the Christian walk. That if we're going to do better in the future and better understand what's going on and deal with our guilt, whether we're talking about confusion or guilt, one of the things that needs to happen is we need to clarify, because people need to understand what are the boundaries that God has set in place. In parenting, you need to help your children to understand what the boundaries are. Whether we're talking about confusion or we're talking about guilt, they need to have a clear understanding of the boundaries. It could be that they're feeling guilt over something they don't have to feel guilt about because they misunderstand the boundaries. Secondly, we have to build trust. There has to be the understanding that we're concerned about their confusion and their guilt. We're concerned about where they hurt and their fear and anxiety and their anger. And no matter whether we're talking about in leadership and dealing with people that we're trying to lead, or whether we're talking about in parenting, but most of all, I'm talking about God and dealing with us. It's important that we understand the boundaries and understand that God cares for us, and that even though we're not living as we should, or maybe we're confused about what God is doing in our lives, and we may have some hurt and some fear and some anger there, we can trust God. That's what Habakkuk is saying. No matter how bad it gets, no matter how confusing it may be, I'm going to trust God and I'm going to rejoice. That's what Nehemiah is saying. Yes, you're not there yet. You're not accomplishing, doing all the things that the law says that you're supposed to do. We haven't restored everything yet, but God's given us that opportunity because he's restored us. So we're forgiven and we can move forward. We also need to reconcile. We need to be brought back into a healthy relationship if the relationship has been damaged. In leadership, if Something has happened in the leadership to where trust has been broken. There's been mistakes made. Leadership needs to reconcile that relationship and bring the people that are we're leading back into a healthy relationship with us so that we can begin the process of leading forward in the future. If we're talking about parenting, we need to help our children understand that there's no problem between us. Yeah, a mistake has been made. Yes, there's been some confusion, but we're okay. We're okay. You don't have to worry about, you know, what our relationship is. We're going to move forward in a healthy relationship with each other. You know, even in situations where there's been discipline, you know, hey, it deals with the situation. It's done. It's dealt with. We move forward. In dealing with Habakkuk and Nehemiah, in both situations, because they're able to trust God, they can move forward in a healthy relationship. Habakkuk knows that, okay, this is not going to go the way I want it to. And I'm still a little confused about what God is doing, but I'm going to trust him. And we're going to move forward in a healthy relationship. And in the situation with Nehemiah and Ezra, they're saying to the people, okay, we're not getting it all done yet, but we're okay. We're in a good relationship with God. We need to celebrate. And we need to move forward. And that brings us to the next point. Celebrate. There, when we're dealing with confusion as parents with our children, it's really important when there's been confusion or if there's been guilt that has been dealt with. And when it's been dealt with and they better understand, they trust us, we're in a healthy relationship, or we've dealt with guilt and they understand they're forgiven, we move forward and we celebrate, we rejoice, you know, we hug each other and we make sure that we understand that, you know, there is joy in the fact that we don't have to let what's happened in the past interfere with us having a great relationship together. And God does the same thing with us in worship. Worship is the celebration of the fact that our relationship with God is what it should be because of what Jesus has done for us. And then because of that, not to you know, make that healthy relationship, but because of that healthy relationship, we celebrate and we activate the right lifestyle. We're obedient, we're compliant, we move forward in the way we should. In Nehemiah's situation, the people of God realize they're not doing all the stuff that the law says they're supposed to do. Okay, well, let's don't be sad and feeling guilty and not doing what we should do, you know, because we're so down about it. Let's get up and let's get it done. Let's do what we're supposed to do. You know, go and celebrate and then come back ready to do the stuff that God is commanding for us to do. And then, and I find this a fascinating thing with both Habakkuk and Nehemiah. There's this idea that out of this comes the opportunity to serve and to share. Habakkuk is more determined to be the prophet that God has sent him to do. Even though he's been confused about the message that God has given him, he leaves the situation saying, okay, I understand. I don't understand everything that God is telling me and why he's doing it the way he is, but I understand what my role is. And in my role, I need to serve God. I need to be his statesman. I need to share God's message because that's what God has given me to do. And I understand that. And so I rejoice in my role with God and I'm going to go do it. And Nehemiah and Ezra are saying the same thing. You know, God has put us here for purpose. And yes, we have failed. We're not doing all that we need to do, but God is forgiving us for that. And let's move forward and do it now and serve God and share this joy with others. It's interesting in the Nehemiah passage that Nehemiah not only commands them to stop crying, stop mourning. This is a day of happiness. This is a day of celebration. But he says, take choice food in your celebration and go share it with the people who have not prepared any. Even in that, he says, celebrate, but do your celebrating, sharing and serving others. I think God sends the same message to us today, that we have much to celebrate because of God has made it possible for us to trust Him and to have a good relationship with Him and be able to have a new lifestyle because of the changes He's made in our life. But that should cause us not just to celebrate it and to worship God, but to practice service and sharing of this joy with others. That's what God's plan is for us. And that's why we've been put here, is to do that for God. As you take the Lord's Supper this morning in your house church, whether it's just you or you're with your family, or maybe you have a small group that's meeting together, remember what Jesus has done for you. That life is often confusing, and it's difficult to understand sometimes why God is allowing what's happening to happen. And it can also be filled with guilt because we often make mistakes, or we don't do all the things that we should do, or even sin in our minds. We think things we shouldn't think. We hold animosity toward others, or we've not been forgiving toward others. We hold anger, and all these things are a part of our guilt that we have. We bring that confusion and that guilt to the cross. And what Jesus has done at the cross by giving His body to die for us, to pay the price for our sins are taken care of. And God's confusion about many things in this world evaporates into the fact that regardless, my sins are forgiven and my relationship is right with God. And someday this life will be over and I'll be with Him forever in a place where all confusion and all guilt is wiped away. That's what we remember in the Lord's Supper, in taking the bread and sharing the cup. And if you're doing that now, take a moment and share that together and share the message of the love that you have for each other and celebrate your relationship with the Lord. There are many people to be in prayer about today, and be sure and check the bulletin. Be sure and look for the updates that are sent out on a regular basis about people that we need to be praying for. And take a moment before you finish your worship time together to pray for the people who are in need. And of course, there are so many things to be in prayer about in our community and in our nation right now. God bless you. May this worship time together make you stronger through the joy of the Lord.